the title of today's sermon is Deliverance from Evil. Can we say that together? Actually, before we move on, can you just turn to your side and smile to somebody? Just smile to the person beside you, smile across the aisle to someone else. It's good. It has a good effect, yeah, on your soul. Hallelujah. He said, what does it do to restore my soul? Psalm 23. He what? He leads me beside the still waters and what? And restores or refreshes my soul. And that's important because you are a spirit, yeah? But that spirit, you live inside a soul. And that soul lives inside a what? A body. You see? So, what's happening in your body can sink in and affect your soul, which is your mind and your emotions. And what's happening in your mind and emotions can sink in and affect your spirit. And the reverse is also true. Yeah? Joy can rise in your spirit. And expand out and affect your soul, your mind, your emotions. Yeah? You can have peace that passes all understanding. And that same, you know, goodness in your soul can overflow and become health in your body. Proverbs 3, he said that word of God can be, you know, health to all your flesh. Hallelujah. So I want you to just be conscious that you're in God's presence and the word of God today. Yeah? The word of God today, it will give you strength in your spirit, healing and restoration in your soul, and health in your body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bible to Ephesians 6. Last week we were talking about deliverance from evil, and we were explaining that evil, yeah, evil is not just a neutral thing or an abstract thing. Yeah? So you know there's good and there's what? There's evil. Yeah? Someone may say, okay, evil is like there's good and bad. But it's not just good and bad. It's good and evil because evil is not just abstract. There is a force behind evil. That's the point I want to make. You see, spiritually speaking, yeah? You cannot say like in science, you say darkness is the absence of light. Yeah? And that's true. But it's not completely true. Darkness is the absence of light. But it's more than the absence of light. There's a force behind darkness. There's a force. So darkness, spiritual darkness is not just absence of light. But spiritual darkness is that there's a force that is pushing darkness forward. And that's the evil one. Amen? Satan is the prince of darkness. The father of lies. Hallelujah. And in fact, Jesus called him a murderer. Yeah, we revised that last week. He said, John 10:10 said, the thief, that's another title for Satan, he does not come except in order to what? To steal, so he's a thief. And to what? To kill, he's a murderer. And what? And to destroy, he's a destroyer. In fact, there's a name that the Bible gives, we call him the Antichrist, but in the book of Revelation, it's called the Beast. Yeah? And the Bible says that he ascends from the bottomless pit. And Bible talks about the fallen angels that are ascending from the bottomless pit. Revelation 9. It said they had a king over them. Yeah? And in Greek, it's called Apollyon. Yeah? And that means the destroyer. Amen? That's the beast. It's a destroyer. Hallelujah. But John 10:10 says, he said, Jesus said, I have come. So that you can what? You can have life. And have it to the abundantly. And last week we described that means what Jesus has come to do in your life is to help you flourish and thrive in every aspect, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. I'm separating them. Though they are both in your soul, your mind and your emotions, but they can be separated. Physically, materially. And also we explained last week that actually your material prosperity is the bottom layer. Although in the worldly thinking, it's like everyone is just talking about material prosperity, but actually it's the most bottom. The top layer of your prosperity is spiritual. That you have peace with God. Amen? Say with me, if you are born again, say with me, say, I have peace with God. That's spiritual prosperity. That's righteousness. Nothing between me and God. Amen? I can come into His presence and call Him my Father. And I was saying to Veronica, I said, I take that personal. He's my Father. Amen? You know, someone said before, he said, you know, God is nobody's father. It's like, God's business is nobody's business because, you know, God is nobody's father. I know they were trying to make a point that, you know, God belongs to everybody. But I beg to differ. God is my Father. His business is what? My business, I take it personal. Hallelujah. I take it personal. And that is because of what Jesus has done. I have peace with God. Hallelujah. That's life. That's what? That's life. My sins have been forgiven. Past. And my sins can be forgiven. Present and future. That's righteousness. Amen. So let's go to Ephesians 6. So we are looking at how to overcome the evil one. That's what I'm saying. That all through your life, you are going to. You don't have a choice. I know you may be easygoing, or you may be troublesome. Some people are troublesome. Yes, some people are disruptive by nature. Everything is going right there. They'll just come and take crap something from you just to get your attention. Some people are like that. Yeah? And some people are just very easygoing. They won't hurt a fly. But the evil one does not care whether you're easygoing or troublesome. Yeah? He is wicked. Yeah? He's always looking for an opportunity to steal or to what? Or to kill. Or to what? Or to destroy. It's your arch enemy. In fact, I want to explain to you that the devil is not God's enemy. It's no match. Amen? It's your enemy. It's my enemy. 1 Peter 5. Open your Bible. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Let's just emphasize that. 1 Peter or 1 Peter 5, 8. Let's just emphasize that point. Yes? Who is ready? 1 Peter 5, 8. New King James, New Living. Yes, go for it.
1 Peter 5, 8.
Yes.
And 8. Verse 8.
Yes.
Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour.
Amen. Amen. Whose enemy is the devil? Whose enemy is the devil? God or you?
Amen.
He's your great enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. In fact, I don't believe that you read in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and find any reference that the devil is God's enemy. It's your enemy. In fact, the better word is your adversary. Yeah? It's your what? Adversary. He's trying to come between you and God. Hallelujah. See, when devil sinned, God threw him down like lightning. That's how fast. It's no match. It's no match for God. Yeah? He's our enemy. And you may ask yourself, well, but why has God left the devil? You know, why has God left the devil to be troubling you? Any answers? Why didn't God just fling? Why did God fling the devil to the earth? Why didn't you fling into this lake of fire straight away? Because God can. Yeah, can't God? We know the devil is headed for the lake of fire. Yeah? But why the delay? Why not immediately so that we are all free? Why? Why is the devil still around?
Is it so that we can discern what is good and what is evil?
Yes, so that we can discern what between what is good and evil. Yes, more answers. We are in the right direction. Yes, any other person? I'll try to make you think. You're welcome. You're welcome. Yes, why? Why God leave the devil? God knows the devil is your enemy and he left him to be one of my sons told me he's on the prowl. Why? Why don't you just deal with him? Anybody? One more answer. At least I need one more answer. Why is the devil free to roam about? Come on. Think about it. Sashan, are you with me? Why is the devil? Why is God? God is good God. Why leave the devil to be an enemy to you and come and to trouble you from time to time? Why? Come on, church, you can do it. Yes, thank you.
I don't know if it's the correct answer or not, but I think we've been given free will.
Mm-hmm.
So if we've been given free will, we have the power to say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're walking with Jesus, we have the authority to say no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we get tempted, even Jesus got tempted and he said no.
Yep.
When he was in the wilderness. So when we are confronted by Satan and when we're caught in temptation, we have the power. But even when we fall short, you know, God, we can pick ourselves back up. God will accept us. But I think it's for our own benefit, because we can then empower ourselves every time we say no and we tell Satan that he has no place or authority in our lives. And God, Bible even says that, I think it's in Corinthians, it says that God is not, he will not give you more than you can handle. So, yeah.
Amen. First Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. Yeah? Is that God, yeah, will not allow you to be what? Let's open there. It's not in my reference, but you've quoted. Let's just do that too. I think that we encourage somebody here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I hope I'm quoting it right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse what? 13. Yes, that's it. Yes, let's have it. Someone reading? 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Anybody ready to read? 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Someone from this side. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Who is ready? Yes, I found you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Please follow in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 10, 13.
10, 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Amen. There is no temptation that has come across your way beyond what somebody else, somewhere else, has gone through. Message there, you're never alone. Yeah? You're not alone. Even in your challenge, you are not what? Alone. That's first message. Second message, that God is what? God is faithful. Say, Mr. Say, God is faithful. That is, God is still in charge. God's still in control. He guarantees that he will never allow you to face anything that can destroy you. He will not ever allow you to go through anything beyond your capacity. If you are working with God, if you are working with the devil can bring something that will destroy you. He's a destroyer. But if you are working with God, and it's just that the devil is coming to tempt you, yeah, you are working with God, yeah? You love God, you are following God's word, you are a child of God. You are not yielding to the devil. If you yield to the devil, he can destroy. But if you are working with God, you love God, you are following God, and when you miss it, you are repenting, you are doing your best, yeah? God watches your back. Hallelujah. He will never allow the devil to bring something your way that you can't bear. He won't. You can be sure about it. Yeah. So whatever you're going through now, yeah? God has given you grace. Not only to bear it, but to overcome it. Hallelujah. I'm jumping. I'm jumping. Firstly, to bear. Hallelujah. Say what you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is faithful. He will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. So now if you read the book of you read the Bible, you read the story of Job. And Job, God allowed Satan to what? To tempt him. But God already knows Job's capacity. In fact, if you go back to that book, you first see that the Job starts with God telling us this, the CV of Job. He says he's an upright man. Yeah? He resists, he shuns evil. God has measured his capacity. Yeah? And God found that, look, it can go through this. Now, it's not, God is not going to let everybody go through what Job went through. Hallelujah. Because not everybody has the capacity of what? Of Job. So don't read Job and think you will go through what Job went through. Except you have Job's CV. Are you with me? Yeah? God is faithful. He knows your capacity. Say, God knows my capacity. So if we not, we are talking about a law of God. He will never allow any of his children to go through anything they can't bear. Hallelujah. So if you are going through anything, God has already felt for joy that you have capacity to bear. Hallelujah. But that's not the end point. The end point is not as if God just wants you to suffer for nothing. No. Continue. Can you just read verse 13 again? God will not allow you to be, just read it again one more time. I just want to emphasize on that point.
They hate. No temptation taken you, but such is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able.
Amen.
But
I want to explain to you that is the first point. That's not the last point. It's the first point in this business. But there's another point. Now listen to that point. Continue.
But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Amen. Now, I just feel like that last part, I would have considered it better. Yeah? So the first thing, that God will not allow you to go through more than what you can bear. First point. But second point is that, with the temptation, God will also provide you what? A way of escape. Please, can anybody tell me the meaning of escape? What does escape mean? When you say a way of escape, what does it mean to escape? Escape.
To disappear,
yes, escape. What does it mean to escape? Escape anybody? When I say, I want to escape.
to find a way out.
A way out. Is it a way in or a way out? Please listen to me. Is it a way, escape a way in or a way out? Do you want to say something?
To be free of something.
To be free. It's a way out. I don't know if you understand where I'm going to. This teaching. With the temptation, God will also provide you what? A way of escape. That's why I believe that a deeper way to translate that you may be able to bear it is that you may be able to overcome it. You see, the way out is to help you overcome. Hello? So first is that God will not allow more than what you can bear. But he also give you grace. Hallelujah. To not only bear it, but to what? To overcome it. Another word for overcome is to dominate it. To be on top of it. To reduce it to nothing. To put the devil to flight. Hallelujah. So the reason why God allows you to be tempted, why does God allow you to be tempted? Because he wants to put the devil to flight. Let me say it another way. He wants to put the devil to shame in your life. Every time you're tempted, Satan is trying to throw his best at you. Every time you overcome him, you have put him what? To what? To shame. And who is glorified when you put the devil to shame? God is glorified. And what happens to you? You are edified. Amen? Are you with me? So whatever you're going through, remember that God is what? God is faithful. Two things. You have capacity. God already judged it. Secondly, you can receive grace. Hallelujah. Say, I need grace. To overcome. You can overcome. You are serving the living God. Hallelujah. The gospel is not just a matter of bear it. The gospel is dominated. Hallelujah. Rather than it dominating you, you dominate it. Amen. If sickness shows up, ultimately, God wants you to dominate it. Hallelujah. Sickness may show up first, trying to dominate you. Amen. But when the word of God in you and the spirit of God in you rises, you will end up what? Dominating it. Hallelujah. You what? You dominate. It means that he is no longer controlling you. You are controlling it. It's no longer stopping you from functioning. You have put it to nothing. And you can function. And God is glorified. And the devil is what? Is put to shame. Hallelujah. You're going to a tough time. Maybe you suffered, hardship in your relationship. It's like a temptation. Hallelujah. But remember, firstly, you have what? Capacity. Secondly, you can turn it around. You can dominate it. You turn your test into a testimony. Hallelujah. You can make the devil regret putting you through that situation. So it says, if I knew better, I would have left you where you were. Hallelujah. That is what it means to overcome the evil one. Hallelujah. We respond and we use the power of God in us, the grace of God in us, provided by His word and His spirit, to dominate evil. Romans chapter 12, the last verse, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So it's talking about overcoming the evil one. And every time you overcome the evil one, you put the devil to shame. And you brought glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you know what God wants most from you? What does God want most from you? What does God want most from you? What do you think that God wants most from you?
Communion with Him.
Communion, yes, it's part of that. That's where we are going there. That's where I want to hear more. Normally, let me explain if you are new to this church. What usually happens is that I have one model answer in my mind. And I'm trying to use you to get my answer. Okay, so bear with me. Yes? What does God want most from you?
I think trust and faith.
Trusting Him. Having faith in Him. Yes, it's part of the business. Yes, I agree. Anybody? What does God want most from me? Some people are like, what God wants most from them is their money. Well, God wants your money, by the way. But that's not what He wants most. Yes? He doesn't want all your money, by the way.
To obey Him.
To obey Him. And of course, if you trust Him, if you really, 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 what? Trust Him, you will what? You will obey Him. Isn't it? The Bible says, Abraham believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. And that's why I have people running off with that and just say, all I have to do is believe God, and I'm righteous. No, sir. If when you truly believe God, you will what? You will obey God. So that's what, it was James that gave us the secret. He said, Abraham, yeah, after he has offered up his son, yeah, there, that is how he fulfilled the statement that Abraham believed God and it was accounted for righteousness. Amen. Faith without corresponding actions is what? It's dead. You can just sit at home, cross your leg and be watching the TV. It's no faith. Until your actions begin to correspond, is the proof that your faith is alive. Hallelujah. Faith that is living always produces corresponding actions. Hallelujah. Yes, more? What does God want most from you? Communion? Trust, faith, obedience? More? Anybody? Most, remember? Most. Did I hear you? What?
Relationship,
absolutely. God created you for relationship, no doubt about it. And the greatest relationship you can have in your life is with the Father. I don't mean your earthly father, I mean your heavenly one. Father. That's the greatest. It can never be better. Take it from me. It can never be better. The greatest relation you can have in your life is with your heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And when you have that relationship, I want you to learn to appreciate that relationship. It's part of your weapon of overcoming the evil one. What's the Lord's Prayer? The Lord's Prayer. Can you start it? Yeah, just start the Lord's Prayer. Start.
Sorry, what do you want me to say?
Just say the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, the Lord's Prayer. Yeah. I'm sorry, Ben. I'm sorry.
It's my style.
I didn't hear.
Yes, yeah.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Stop. That is the deepest lesson on prayer. To understand that God is your Father. And He reigns on His throne in heaven. Yeah? He reigns over the whole universe. He has the full authority, the full power. The one who has the full authority and the full power is your Father. That is the foundation of prayer. God wants you to have relationship with Him because that's why He created you. For relationship. Hallelujah. Any other answer? There's no perfect answer, by the way, to this. Any other answer? Let me just say, throw this in. All the answers are the same answer, really. My dimension will say that God wants to take the glory in your life. You see, He wants, He desires to take the glory in your life. That's why He left the devil hanging around. So that we can all be the distributors of shame on the devil. It's part of His judgment. Hello, listen to me. You are supposed to be the devil's nemesis. You hear me? It's part of His judgment. So it's not, you're not just going to have a free throw into the lake of fire. You're going to receive some judgment. Yeah? You're going to be released on a failed mission. Yeah? Every time God is glorifying your life, the devil is put to shame. Or let's reverse it. Every time the devil is put to shame, yeah? By what you do, what you say, God is glorified. And that's your mission. It's your life mission. Every time you resist the devil, God is glorified. Hallelujah. What did I say? Every time that you resist the devil and you refuse him or what he has sent towards you from dominating you, God is what?
God is glorified.
And you know what God does for you? He gives you grace to help you achieve that purpose. And you should take advantage of the grace of God. Amen. So let's move on. Armor of God, and let me just what I'll do today is just deepen you in what we shared last week. Let's just deepen that. I won't do something new today beyond what we've done last week. I just revised and deepen you. So, and maybe a few more things, just bonus. So Ephesians 6, are you there? Ephesians 6, and we're looking at verse 14. Let me just see. Ephesians 6:14. Yes, Ephesians 6:14. Can you read it? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Is it getting colder? I know what to do. Can you hear me reduce the... Yeah. Ephesians 6:14. Yes, we would like to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Yes, Ephesians 6:14. Please. Yeah.
That's Ephesians 6:14 from NKJV. Start therefore having a gridded your wrist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. Thank you.
Having put on what? The breastplate of righteousness. That's what New King James. Okay, another version? New Living? Or Amplified? Yes. Ephesians 6:14. Your version is welcome, yeah. Let's see what it says. Ephesians 6:14. Listen.
This is reading from ESV.
Yes.
Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness.
The breastplate of what? Righteousness. I want to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. I need another version. New Living. New Living Amplified. Ephesians 6:14.
Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, and the body armor.
The body armor. That's what I'm looking for. The body armor. Of what?
God's righteousness.
God's righteousness. firstly, to just explain, like when I was growing up, when I read Ephesians 6, and I've read Ephesians 6 a long time, I'm of God. When it says breastplate, all I'm just thinking about is my front. And I really just thinking about my chest. So, I don't catch the full meaning. But the full meaning is a body armor. Yeah? It's front, I check the Greek word. It's front and back. Amen? Are you following me? It's a body armor that protects your trunk, all your vital organs. In today's language, it's your bulletproof vest. Amen? I don't know if you're following me. It's a body armor. So it's telling me that that all the weapon, all the elements of the armor of God are important. Yeah? But who can tell me the two most important? From the mindset of a soldier. From the mindset of a soldier. In terms of defense. What are the two most important pieces of your armor? Yes.
I think your heart should be right.
Yes. At, yes. So I'm talking about your armor. Think about weapon now. Think about the armor. So all the things you can wear to protect yourself. What are the two most important things you can use to protect yourself? The key, let me not give you the key.
The helmet,
yes, and why? Do you know, can you tell me why you think so?
Protect your...
Yeah, your brain. And what else? Okay, fine. And the second one is obvious. What's the second one? All your vital organs. What protects your vital organ?
Breastplate.
Body armor. Amen. Yeah? Like, if you want to certify a person to be medically dead, yeah? There are only two things you check for. Their heartbeat and what? And their brain function. If actually officially it's the brain. Even if the heart is beating, the brain is not functioning, that person is medically dead. Are you with me? So my body armor and my helmet, very important. Very what? Important. Now all of them are important, but I don't have time to take you through all them today. So I just want to deepen you a bit in your body armor and your helmet. You will never successfully stand against the devil if you don't have your body armor and your helmet in place. Because it will be able to access the vital organs of your spiritual life. So at least, it's minimum. Amen? And what's your body armor? It's righteousness. And I was trying to explain to you last week, I said, your righteousness, yeah, is based or is paid for by the blood of Jesus. Without that blood of Jesus, you have what? No righteousness. Amen? Without Jesus shedding his blood on the cross, you have what? No righteousness. So open your Bible to Colossians 1. Let's look at verse 13 and 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. If you have it, just... Yes, who's ready? Who's ready to read Colossians 1, 13 and 14? I come back. Colossians 1, 13 and 14.
NLT.
Yes.
For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins.
He has rescued us from what? The kingdom of darkness. How has he done that? How has he done that? And verse 14 tells us. Now let's read New King James. Colossians 1, 13 and 14.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness.
Say with me, say Jesus.
Jesus.
Has delivered me.
Has delivered me.
From the power.
From the power.
of darkness.
Darkness.
I'm trying to explain to you, darkness is not neutral. Darkness has power. It's not just absence of light. Spiritual darkness has power. But Jesus has come to deliver me and you from what? The power of darkness. But how does he do it? Verse 14, continue.
In whom we have redemption through his blood.
We have redemption. Redemption is how he bought. Redemption means to buy back. Yeah? He has bought us back. Or he has delivered us. How? Through his blood. How does the blood work? Continue.
Blood, the forgiveness of sins.
The blood of Jesus. The power of the blood of Jesus in your life is that you can receive what? Forgiveness of sin. Let me just go deeper and show you the meaning. The meaning is that because the devil, there's some legality going on. In the court of heaven, you have someone called the prosecutor. That's the devil. Romans, Revelation 12 calls him the accuser of what? Of the brethren. He's a prosecutor. So he comes to make claims against you. Yeah? When you do wrong. You know you're born again, but when you miss it, and you can't because your spirit is living inside a soul, and your soul is living inside what? A body. So when you miss it in your body or in your soul, we call that sin. A believer can sin. So long you are still living inside a soul and a body, it's possible. Your soul is not perfect. Your body is not perfect. The day is coming when you get a new body. Amen? That one will be sinless. I'm looking forward. It will be sinless. It has no sickness, no disease, no weakness. But now, in this world, the body is mortal. It means it can be weak, it can be sick, it can be tempted, yeah? It can be broken. Yeah? But thank God, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. Please don't just stay there. It also means that in Christ, it can be healed and made whole. I would say that by his stripes. The stripes that wounded Jesus. Again, the blood of Jesus on the cross. We are what? We are healed and made what? Whole. You have to choose. It's your choice. I choose to believe that. I choose to believe. I don't know about you, but the way I see it is that for every sickness showing up in my life, for every disease showing up in my life, by the stripes that wounded Jesus, I don't know about you, but it's personal. I am healed. I mean, there's healing for me. Hallelujah. There's what? There's healing for me in Jesus. Through the cross of Jesus. Through the body of Jesus broken and the blood of Jesus shed. There's healing and forgiveness for me. But it's for you too, but you have to take it. Hallelujah. How do you take it? You believe. Yeah? And then you confess it. You see, when you believe something, it's not enough. Faith without corresponding actions is what? It's dead. You see, if I spent 1 hour with you or 2 hours chatting with you, I will find out some things you believe without you telling me I believe in this. It will come out of your words. What you believe comes out from what you say. If I spend half a day with you, I can locate you in your beliefs because it will come out. Hallelujah. So, when you believe the word of God, put it on your mouth. Hallelujah. He said, by his stripes, you were healed. I just said, that belongs to me. I don't know about you, but it belongs to me. So when sickness shows up, what do? I say, you sickness, I resist you. You see, let me tell you something. Sickness and disease, they are messengers of death. Please follow me. I'm not saying that people don't fall sick. I've fallen sick before. You know, people can be in hospital. But I want you to understand that sickness and disease are messengers of death. The ultimate goal of sickness and disease is to kill you. So they are to be what? Resisted. Yeah? Anybody likes to be sick? You love it. It's your best time of the day. Yeah. Some people do, because maybe they get all the attention. What do you really need? Attention or health? I'd rather be well and go on the streets and preach with TFMS. Hallelujah. So when it shows up, it can show up. You're in a mortal body. It can happen. But what are you going to do? I'm going to speak to you and say, sickness, I reject you. I'll use my medicines, but that's not all I would do. I'm just trying to make you understand. I will use my medicines, but I will still what? Speak. You see, if I use my medicines alone, then I'm just thinking I'm a body. I'm not just a body. I'm a soul and I'm a spirit. In my spirit is the word of God. Yeah? So when problems show up, I don't just attack it with the physical. I will also attack it with what? The spiritual. So as I'm using my medicine in the physical, I'm also speaking to it spiritually. I say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, sickness, in my body. Because my body, I don't know about yours, my body is the temple of what? Of the Holy Spirit. So I tell that sickness in particular that you are not welcome here. Meaning that your time, yeah? You don't have infinite time in my body. Quickly, pack up and go. I'm using my medicine, but I'm speaking to the sickness. I'm speaking to the disease. I know disease is more long term, but don't keep quiet. Speak to it daily. As you're using your medicine, speak to it. I say, Jesus died on the cross. And by his stripes, what? I'm healed. Now, let me tell you what happens with that. With that, you find that rather than that thing dominating you, you will be dominating it. Let me explain dominating. Dominating means rather than that thing having an increased control over you, you will take over and begin to control it. Hallelujah? You begin to control it rather than it controlling you. Even when it has not disappeared completely, it's under control. Amen? It's under what? Control. So you are no longer a victim. You become a victor over the sickness or the disease. Are you with me? And that's you putting the word of God to work. Let me see how we're doing with time. And, okay, 7 minutes, I'll be finished. So I'm talking about the body armor of righteousness. And I'm talking about that it is paid for by the blood of Jesus. So how does it work? Firstly, if you want to get the benefit of the blood of Jesus, yeah, you have to learn to repent. Or let me say that in that way. Admit your fault. Yeah? It's like you went to a doctor, you need help. Yeah? And the doctor has help, like medicine or whatever they can do. But you go there and say, you know what? I'm okay. Everything is working. So why are you here? Well, I just came here, but I'm okay. What is the doctor going to do? Bye-bye. The medicine is there, but you've not applied it. It's there. It's available for you. Yeah? But you have not applied it because you have not even admitted what you're trying to solve. Are you with me? So you are born again, yes, and you have been forgiven your sins because you believe in Jesus. You're a child of God, yes. But from day to day, as you walk through this dusty road of life, or through this desert road of life, you will pick up dust. That's why you need to wash your feet. It's in the Bible. Yeah? So when you come before God, yeah, admit what? Your fault. The fault may be like, oh, you got angry. Or maybe you said the wrong word. Yeah? Or maybe you desired the wrong thing. Or maybe, you know, you disobeyed God. Yeah? Or you dishonored or disrespected somebody of authority in your life. Admit your fault. If you don't, you are providing a foothold for the devil. He likes it. Where there's confusion, where there's chaos, where there's rebellion, where there's disobedience, Satan is dancing. Break dancing. He's happy. He loves it. It's his region of joy. Satan can operate, yeah, in the atmosphere of lawlessness. He loves it. You're not going to overcome the devil, yeah, by allowing lawlessness in your life. Rebellion in your life. You're not going to overcome the devil. It doesn't matter how many years you've been a Christian. If you are disobedient, if you are rebellious, if you are proud, the devil is happy. He will be whispering to your ears. And he will be dancing. Hallelujah. So in terms of your peace with God, your right standing with God, if you want to make sure there is nothing between you and God, yeah, when the Holy Spirit has told you that something is wrong, go to your Father and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Amen. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, he said, if we say we have no sin, what? We are lying. And the truth is not in us. 1 John 1, 8. But verse 9 says, if we, what? Confess our sins, he is faithful. He said that word again? God is faithful. And just to forgive us and do what? Cleanse us from what? All. Is it some? No. All unrighteousness. So it's like because if you want to maintain righteousness, yeah? The highway to maintaining righteousness is obedience. See, in righteousness I'm in right relationship with God. But God will always have me do some things. God is perfect, he's holy, he's just, he's true, he's faithful, he has a way of life. And if I'm in right standing with him, he wants me to do things the way he loves to do things. I want you to understand that. Righteousness is not just a badge that, okay, I'm right standing with God, I can do whatever I like. No. God is a God of purpose. Yeah? So God has his way of doing things. Yeah? God has his way of what? Doing things. And he always does what is right. Yeah? If you could walk with God and do things the way God does things, the devil can never dominate you. Never. Hallelujah. But because you are human, you will make mistakes. Yeah? You will. I didn't say you can't. I said you will. From time to time. So how do you service righteousness? First key of righteousness is obey God. But second key is that sometimes you will not obey God because you are human. So repent quickly. That is, get back in line. Get back in line. Get back in what? In line. You know, Jesus said something. He said the Satan comes, but he has nothing in me. That's what I want to be. I want to be in a place where Satan came and he found nothing of his own in me. He searched me and found nothing. So you know, my Satan comes and says, "Oh, that behavior belongs to me. I know you. We do things like that." No, that's not the way to overcome the devil. You want to be sure that when the devil comes, he finds nothing that looks like him in you. Because if he finds something that looks like him, he will stay. If he finds nothing that looks like him, he knows he's not welcome. Are you with me? So how do you do it? Repent quickly. I missed it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. It's simple. Humility. Just humble yourself. Humble yourself. Remember, pride is the beginning of all the trouble we had in this world. The devil became, Lucifer became Satan because of what? Pride. Pride is the exaltation of self. I am more than me. I am something. You are a created being. Hallelujah. You humble yourself before the Lord. Hallelujah. And then he will help you. It will lift you up. So when I talk about your body armor, is a way of keeping Satan, giving no access to your vital organs. And I tell you that the way it works is that service your relationship with God. Keep it intact. Yeah? Keep it unruined by either sin or lack of repentance. Do you see? And that's right. You can stay in righteousness for every moment of your life. Every moment. Despite not being perfect. Because you've learned to obey and you've learned to repent. You can maintain righteousness. That's your body armor. Hallelujah. Let me see where we are and then we... Okay, we have to stop there because of time. I could go on for another 1 hour, but let's stop there for the time. So can you just rise up and talk to God? I hope that from this message, one of the things you've gotten is that God is faithful. He gives you both capacity and grace. And that your body armor is righteousness. Righteousness is, you know, an excellent relationship with the Father. Nothing between. And that comes through, and if you have that, there will be obedience. And if you have that also, there will be what? Repentance. The reason why you need repentance as a Christian is that you will miss it sometimes. Sometimes you will be tempted, sometimes you'll be proud, sometimes you'll be naughty one way or the other. The way to service righteousness is get back in line. Quickly say, Lord, I missed it. Forgive me. Bible says that when we do that, He is faithful and what? And just. You know, the devil is very tricky. He's looking for an inroad. Don't give the devil an inroad into your life. There is no limit to the possibility of wickedness and evil that Satan can try to do in your life if he has an inroad. And you want to make sure that he has no what? No inroad. So why don't you just practicalize that? Let's first of all go ahead and just rededicate ourselves to God. And say, Lord, through the blood of Jesus, I have come into righteousness. I appreciate that. I love it. That I can have a clean, smooth relationship with God as my Father. That is righteousness. And I don't want anything to come between me and God. I don't want it. I don't want it. The best, the most important relationship in my life is my relationship with God. It is. And I don't want anything to come between. So Father, thank you, Lord, for the blessing of righteousness to the blood of Jesus. And I want to rededicate myself to you. I want you just rededicate yourself to, first of all, to obedience. It's so simple. You can't teach God anything, you know. You can only obey. He is perfect. He is holy. He is righteous. He is good. You can't say, oh God, do you think this child looks better than what you said? No. God didn't figure it out. I can obey him. Say, Lord, so rededicate yourself. Say, Lord, if as part of my walk of righteousness, I rededicate myself to obedience. It's a good attitude. Jesus demonstrated it. Bible says he humbled himself and he became obedient, even unto death on the cross. So I rededicate myself, Lord, to obedience. Obedience to the word of God, obedience to the Spirit of God. Obedience to godly authority. You know, part of your obedience is that God has put some people in your life, you know, as godly authority. You can't despise them and not open a door to the devil. So I rededicate myself to obedience to godly authority in the name of Jesus. Next prayer is, I repent. Any demonstration of rebellion in my life, I repent. Any demonstration of pride in my life, I repent. Another manifestation of pride is called stubbornness. I repent. Any way I've opened the door to the devil. Sometimes you open the door to the devil through what you are reading. You are reading something that is corrupting your soul. It may be pleasurable. It may be pleasurable, but it's corrupting. In fact, all sin is pleasurable. Otherwise, nobody will sin. I repent. Sometimes you are opening the door to what you are watching, what you are listening to, what you are saying, the company you are keeping. Anyway, that I have opened the door, whether mistakenly or intentionally, I repent. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. And I ask for grace to close every such door. I don't want to. You can't leave a door to the devil open and you think he won't operate. You have to close the door. You have to close. Sometimes the door is content. Sometimes it's attitude. And sometimes it's the wrong people. I receive grace to close every door open in my life to the devil. I receive grace to close it. And keep my relationship with God intact. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. that washes me clean from what? All unrighteousness. And as I stand in righteousness by faith, I know that I can overcome the devil. And when I say devil, I mean all evil. I can dominate evil. Whichever form is showing up, whether in my body or in my soul, in my emotions, in my relationships, in my health, in my finances, wherever, I choose to dominate and overcome evil through righteousness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.